It's nice to see everyone again. It seems like it's been a week. It's the ACN North podcast.
I still haven't come up with the name yet, huh?
We're working it out.
I think we've kind of stuck with the North ACN Sports Report.
We'll come up.
It kind of rolls off the tongue.
What's North ACN pod? The nap? Ooh, we just gave it a street name.
Yeah.
Street name, welcome to the nap. Yeah, I think that works.
Yeah, that could work.
The nap.
That could work.
I'm Joe Harrington, sports editor at the Round Rock Leader and Pflugerville Flag.
And I'm Sean Shapiro. I'm the sports editor at the Cedar Park Leander Statesman. And we're joined by our friend Chris Dukes today for the second time.
It's great to be here again. What about the power nap?
The power nap.
Ooh.
I don't know.
You've got the touch. That's what it makes me feel like. That's a little Transformers cartoon for you reader, listeners that don't know anything about that. Chris, well, obviously, you know how we like to start the show off here.
Oh, random question, right?
Yeah. A random question.
Well, I've got one.
Okay.
What is the... clean for the podcast... What is the best thing you've ever heard a parent say directly to you about the coverage of a your schools?
Are we talking? Are we talking most memorable? Or I mean, obviously not.
Are we talking? No, Sean.
No. It is really hard to keep that one clean. It really is.
You're obviously not from Texas.
That was mine. Mine was, you obviously don't think kids who are second team honorable mention are worthy of being in the paper when you have three pages.
Let's see. I'm trying to... I've had some pretty good ones over the years. I'd have to say, last year... I had someone call me and tell me that because I wasn't covering JV boys basketball, that I was obviously making too much money and not working enough hours, which I found to be the most probably hilarious.
Hey, look, it's not that I don't want to cover JV basketball or middle school basketball, and it's not like we're purposely keeping that stuff out, but. To be quite honestly, sometimes we have a hard enough time getting the varsity coaches to get us stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, yesterday, the only way I was able to cover three different varsity games at once is I had Josh Mann give me a ride around on a golf cart.
Shout out to the golf cart.
Yeah.
All right, my random question is, you have one place to eat lunch in Bastrop, Texas.
In Bastrop proper or just Bastrop city limits?
There's a Bastrop proper?
There is indeed. Are we talking the footprint of Bastrop?
I know we're not talking about the federal prison cafeteria.
No.
Okay? So where are you eating? And you know what?
Are we allowed? I thought we weren't going to do any condoning of local businesses. Or
okay. All right. Okay. So, yes, you're right. We shouldn't do that. So, let's do... So, there is a Mexican restaurant that serves tacos and has a bell in it. There is a burger with a king in it. And then there is a Golden Arch there. And then there is an old Southern man that sells chicken.
Okay.
Okay, those are all lined up on the street.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to?
I'm going to have to go... It depends on what else I have to do that day. If I'm planning on just going back to bed, you know, I'll go to the place with the tacos and the bell. Because, you know, I mean, I think your day's pretty much shot once you go eat there.
It's good to go.
if I'm trying to get back to work after that, I'd say I'd go to the place with the retired military man that's serving me chicken. Just because I think I can get a lighter lunch and get back to work.
Retired military man. Well, I would say that substance that's... or you could go to that place that's named after that thing that goes under cities and has little tube-like things that drive around.
That's definitely the best lunch option, I would think, just because you can usually...
Or that place that has the big 10-gallon bucket hat for a logo.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. See? That's how I feel about that place with the 10-gallon bucket hat.
You never think about it. Yeah. Right?
But then when you see it, you're like,
that's
good. And we won't even talk about the one with the commercials with the guy with the big round head and the pointy nose and plays guitars.
Or the place that serves chicken but has the man in the cow suit, because I don't think we should mention, get into a lot of trouble with, the place that got into some political trouble this past year.
It's so good, Chris.
It's so good. I actually had it for lunch today.
And they can't spell in their ads.
That's true.
We're totally not going to do this segment in 10 minutes, all right? We've shot that. That's totally gone.
Well, talking about so good, some good basketball.
So good. So good. All right, okay.
Some good girls' hoops going.
We got some good girls' hoops. And you know what? We've known my story for a long time. And we thought we knew Sean's story for a long time before they had a little hiccup this weekend. But we did not know the Smithville Tigers story.
Central Texas's best kept secret this year. It's really been an interesting ride for them, because as Sean knows, we were talking a couple weeks ago about me helping him cover the UIL swim meet, because I was like, yeah, I won't have any basketball to cover by then.
And they don't swim in Bass Rock.
Yeah, and we have one swimmer.
Landlocked.
Yeah, the Smithville girls, definitely an overachieving team this year.
Because there are no swimmers in Bass Rock.
Because, there's one swimmer. We'll get back to that. One talented swimmer just didn't happen to make it this year to the state meet. Okay. But back to the Smithville girls. They came out of a pretty weak district. They went undefeated during district play, but came out of a real weak district. Got into the regional tournament and just really surprised a couple teams. You know, they beat Corpus Christi West Oso. They've been ranked in the top 10 all year in the 3A poll. Beat Burney, another team that's been solid all year long. I mean, they've been up in the top 15 all year. They didn't really get any respect from statewide voters all year long. I mean, they were barely inside the top 20 in the 3A poll, and just really catching fire right at the right time, the Smithville Lady Tigers.
Yeah, well, we wish them good luck in the state tournament. They play today. This is coming on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So what time are they playing today?
They play at 3 p.m.
Well, let's hope that Sean gets this podcast done by 3 p.m. tomorrow. Good luck for that, and that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have long weekend plans for this?
I'm planning, they got Kennedale from the first round. They are,
the semifinal.
Very, very, very good team. They beat number one Gainesville last week in the regional tournament. And coming out of region one, just, they've got three girls over 6 feet tall for a 3A school. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
And they've actually rolled up 90 points four times this year. Beat Cedar Park Vista Ridge earlier this year in a tournament.
That is not Smithville proper.
No. it's going to be a very, very tough challenge for them coming up today at Thursday at 3 p.m.
Well, it's going to be exciting. And maybe they can bring one in. Maybe a certain other team from Central Texas can bring one in. We've got the Pflugerville girls there, 38-0. This will be the biggest triumph, I think, in this program's history. This would be the first state title, but to do it, they have to do it with two starters, playing uncertain, with some uncertainty there. Bree Payne, who is my player of the year for the Round Rock Leader, and whenever we do our flag awards, which will come out eventually, we're kind of waiting for that team to end. She's going to be our player of the year. Bree doesn't look good, but she can always surprise us. She suffered a knee injury in the regional final. Amy Staha. It's funny, I was talking to a Pflugerville parent earlier today who came into the office to pick up our state preview.
Which looked pretty good.
Yeah, it looked delicious.
It did.
The parent said, we were talking about it, and I flat out told him, I was like, if Amy Staha can limp out onto a floor, she's dangerous because she's that good of a shooter. So if she can shoot, she's good. But that Pflugerville is so deep that I think that they can still compete. They're still dangerous. Anybody that thinks that they're not favored to beat Cibolo Steel, who's a good team, but Cibolo Steel's 32-5. Pflugerville just beat a pair of teams in, what, Plano West and Decaney without two starters. I mean, they played Decaney without Bree Payne and Amy Stahl really doing anything. Decaney had only lost two games all year. I mean, that was a really good team. Pflugerville still beat them, so I would say anyone that says, oh, God, the Panthers don't have a shot in the semifinal. No, they do. Steele's good. Don't get me wrong. Steele's here for a reason. They came out of the 4A, mm-hmm. which we that includes some of the teams from the Valley in Texas. Mm-hmm. And but I would say Pflugerville still has a very good chance at in the backcourt to take advantage. They probably have the best player on the court still, even with Bree Payne out. I mean, Diana Amazi is really good. Janelle Smith, right there in the post, is really good, really talented. Where I think it could hurt them not having the full strength is obviously when they play Duncanville. I mean, mm-hmm. Duncanville's won 70-some-odd games in a row.
And Duncanville, weren't they on the I think I read something the other day, that they were on the positive end last year, like the most lopsided game in state title history, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're terrific. I mean, they're there for a reason. So, obviously, not being full strength would hurt them, but first they have to get there. Mm-hmm. And I think that this team, they don't want to be written off. And frankly, if you're writing off Pflugerville and Nancy Walling and this group that still has a ton of seniors, even though they might be without two, you don't know girls basketball. I mean, this team is deep. They still have guard play. Alyssa Eccles is really good, and she's going to be thrown into the forefront. I mean, they beat Plano West, if it was East, I'm sorry, with a freshman making free throws. That was their game they could have lost, but they got past it with a guard making big shots. If they can get that type of play from their bench guards, because that's where it's gonna come. They're going to miss Bree. She's not their point guard. So it's not like they're losing a point guard. They're just losing a very active swing player that is good on defense because she's really fast and can shoot and can drive to the basket. But, you know, Bree was limited quite a bit when they played Klein Forest in the area round. So there's still a really good chance that they could win this, that they could win it all because they're so deep that they can replace a phenomenal player who, again, was our player of the year for the leader. They can replace them. Not a lot of teams can do that. You know, Duncanville is, if they play Duncanville in the championship, and Duncanville has to get by a really good team from League City in Clear Springs, if they play Duncanville in the final, Duncanville still has to compete with the same type of team. Even though they might not have Bree Payne and Amy Staha, Pflugerville doesn't change their strategy. They play the same way. Maybe they don't have a shooter that is as competent as Amy Staha or as a defender as great as Bree Payne, but they have similar players that they don't have to change their style. Whereas you get a team like a Duncanville or one of these other teams, maybe they get in foul trouble, their bigs get in foul trouble, they have to scrap the game plan. Mm-hmm. Pflugerville never has to change their game plan. They can play the same style regardless. If they get in foul, where the problem is they do get in foul trouble, they don't have as many girls to bring off the bench. But they don't struggle with foul trouble because they don't play their game is not surrounded by the inside. They're playing a perimeter striking game, quick. They're going to score on transition. That's still there. So anybody that says, "Oh no, they got the two starters out," no, that don't listen to that. Look at the proof is in the pudding. They've won so many games with those backups playing against great teams that they're still tough to beat. We've said it. I've said it all year long that I thought that Pflugerville's JV team could have done pretty good in just about any district in Central Texas. I don't know if they're winning it. I doubt that they're winning. They're still JVs, but they can compete and possibly make the playoffs in a lot of these districts. It's just how good the program is there. That's what they do. Well, yeah, and it's Nancy Walling is a great coach, and she's going to make adjustments. And there's a lot of emotion going on in Pflugerville. Obviously, when you got two seniors that have meant to the program like that, that might be limited at best. But
and that game's at 8:30, right, on Friday?
8:30 Friday. And then the championship game will be 8:30 on Saturday. When's Smithfield's championship game?
It is at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
You know what? I don't know. We might have to end this podcast early. I mean, after that, what are we going to talk about?
Oh, we could go into...
Well, we could go into a lot of things.
We could go into a lot of things.
You guys want to take a little bit of a break, and we can brainstorm, and then we can try to... Let's make this podcast go a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, unless we want to add some more about the state tournament, but, I mean... Who's all in the field for Smithville? Who are they contending with? Who are the three other teams?
The three other teams, the two teams on the other side, I haven't really had a chance to spend a whole lot of time with the bracket on the other side, to tell you the truth.
One game at a time.
I mean, obviously anybody that's going to be at this tournament has earned their way there. It'll be Region 2 and Region 3.
Chris, you know what we forgot to bring up? You know what we forgot to bring up? What's I know that? What we forgot to bring up. The fact that Sean's not covering a team this weekend.
Oh man, it's
I
didn't even know you could have a state championship without Sean being there in some capacity.
And it's not like his girls' teams didn't try. I think that it sounds like Vista Ridge ran into a really tough team. Sean, why don't you fill us in? Why Vista Ridge? Great team, terrific team, great season. But it happened again to them, didn't it?
Yeah, they ran into. They ran into the wall that is the Blossom Center for them. Third straight year in a row where they've started the year, they've won the first game at the Blossom Center to reach the regional final and then lost in the second game on the regional championship. This year to San Antonio Brennan. Last year was Victoria
East. Northside Brennan.
Yeah, Northside Brennan. And last year was it Victoria East or West? I can't remember which Victoria. One of those.
It's like the Plano thing.
Yeah.
You make up your mind.
Yeah.
Whichever one's good at girls basketball.
Yeah. But they ran into the north side, Brennan, this time, and just size was too much for him. Vista Ridge has one starter who's 5'10". That's their tallest starter, and one girl on the team is 5'11". Brennan had eight girls on the team that were 5'11" or taller.
That was a program you could see was going to be really good. They're, you know, that... That whole there's a reason why that whole athletic department is really good, because it's in a posh area of
San Antonio,
north side San Antonio.
Yeah,
you got to get it right, because that's what they north side ISD. North side of what? San Antonio. Why don't you just call you San Antonio? No, they won't do that. It's north side.
Yeah, and Brennan. Then Brennan also had the I just drew a blank on her name.
Kiara Etheridge.
Yeah, Kiara Etheridge, who actually used to play at Marble Falls, scored a. I think she scored 20. She scored 20 something points in that game for Brennan. Just being a 5'11" and being a guard, where no disrespect to any of Vista Ridge guards, but when you have a 5'11" player trying to back down a 5'5" guard, it's not really much of a.
I'm gonna do it. I know they hate it. I know they hate us bringing it up, but Vista Ridge's inability to get past the Blossom Center kind of reminds me of something else that a Leander ISD school had trouble getting past.
Ooh.
I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to go there. But, I mean, there are similarities. I mean, it's every year they get there, and they just can't get over the hump in the playoffs there. Football a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. There was that team that was on the other side of 620, other side of the dam.
Not Vandegrift?
No, past Vandegrift.
Lakeway.
No, well, they actually reside on the just inside of Lakeway.
You know who knows that team? Curdy. Right?
Yeah. It's... Mm-hmm. We
poke fun at Sean for not having a team in the state title, but I really thought Vista Ridge was going to do it. It really looked like this was the year to get there.
Yeah. I really think if they had gotten any other team in that round, I think they would have gone, too. I think it's with how their offense and every I think they just got Brennan. I think Brennan would be a tough matchup for anyone with all that size, but I just think if they had gotten any other team... and they were a little bit, and they did shot better than they did that night, they'd be in the state tournament.
Yeah.
They just ran into the size factor, and on the one night that they couldn't shoot, they didn't hit a three till 22 seconds left in the game, and you're not going to beat a team that's got a...
It would have been cool to see because they're so close together, it would have been cool to see that Georgetown Vista Ridge state. I'm sure they would have been on opposite sides when they would have been.
Yeah.
It would have been really, really cool to see that, but... You know what? That was one of the surprises for me. I mean, I didn't know if they could do it at the beginning of the season, if they could get back. I was thinking, well, you know, they don't have the Duru, but they really turned it on, and they were playing well in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely after that game, obviously watching kids after playoff loss, you could see the hurt.
Yeah.
But this was almost more of the, you look at the faces in some of the kids, and particularly some of the seniors, where it's that combination of shock and how did this happen again?
Yeah.
Where you're looking on the bench where they had one senior foul out with a minute and a half left, and they're losing by 12, and it's just, it's not even like heartbreak, they're obviously heartbreaking, but it's more of just staring, looking forward, like, how did we reach here three times in a row? Yeah. And
As long as they got Joseph Dean's daughter there, Japrice, they'll be a good program. They can come back next year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they can make the same type of run, but they're going to be dangerous. I think that program is well established right now.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think it's when you take a look, you never want to set a team up for this, but they could easily be back at the Blossom Center again. They go in that regional there as long as they could easily, with they only lose four seniors.
But they got to replace some of their post players.
They lose some of their post players, but they only lose four seniors. They've got they play a rotation of about eight players, and they return five of them. So basically five, not starters coming back, but three starters and two other players are getting full time minutes that coming back for that team. So you could see them back.
I think next year will be Coach McDaniel will, you know, he'll really show them through. Keeping that program afloat there.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Vista Ridge is past Cedar Park as far as the standard in girls basketball in Leander ISD? Or?
Oh, yeah, I think with the... In the past...
Speaking of those terrible email shots about to get...
I think with just reaching the phase they have, reaching the place they have in the past 3 years and winning... Overall, historically, I don't know what you want to put there. Granted, both schools are 12 years old and 7 years old.
I'd say that pretty good run that they've had puts them... I say you look over Leander ISD, and they're in an upper echelon right now with programs like Georgetown and Pflugerville. I mean... Look, they didn't make the state, but, I mean, they very easily could have made state the past 3 years.
Yeah,
so they're up in their echelon. I think that there are certain girls' basketball programs in this area that are on a level. And I think there's three levels, four levels. There's the building, there's playoff contenders, there's perennials, and then there's state level. And there's not very many programs in this area where you can say that's a state contender every year.
Mm-hmm. A program where a regional tournament appearance isn't always necessarily good enough. Where, I mean, you could be disappointed if that's where your team finishes.
There's a fine line between the perennials, which, you know, those teams are, it's not surprising for them to be in the regional quarters, but it's a very big deal that they're in state. And then there's teams like Pflugerville, which, yeah, it's a very big deal that they're in state, but that's where they expect to be.
Yeah, there's
and every team expects to be there, but only several teams know that they will be there.
And this is no disrespect to another team. Connolly, obviously, for them to make where they did, that's a success. Mm-hmm. While as for Vista Ridge, which went one round farther, it's a disappointment.
Well, Connolly's a program with a lot of tradition. They've made the playoffs almost every year they've been there. They hadn't been to the state tournament I think since 2005. They haven't been to the regional since 2004. They're always in that perennial level. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that program can definitely be up there in the state, but I don't think any of those players would admit that they're, you know, they're one of those teams that you automatically have to put them in the state tournament every single year, or at least in the discussion for it, where I think you got programs that have stood the test of time for years and years, like Pflugerville, which, you know, that was a good program before Nancy Walton. There and you got programs like Georgetown that just, you know, they just produce great teams every year. I mean, that's what it is. It's the same way in football. It's the same way in baseball. Same way in all sports. Some schools are basketball schools. Some schools are football schools.
And one of the ways I like to think of it is if you live in Dallas and you get to hear about four basketball teams all year long, those are the teams that are at that top level. Those are the Georgetowns and the Vista Ridges and the Pflugervilles. I mean, I really think that that's kind of a good comparison. I mean, if you're in another part of the state, another region, and I mean, if you know about Georgetown basketball or you know about Pflugerville basketball, that's the top level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, a lot of great teams there, but that's where you kind of draw the line. You know, are they the standard in Leander ISD? Well, that's something that fluctuates every year, yeah. In my opinion. I mean, Cedar Park was good in Leander for a long time. They're still a really, really good program. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Another team just takes it up. And then you know what? In 2 years, another team will take them up. And if, for those of you who can't see, I'm using my hands to go up there. But that's how it is. And that's how it is in so many high school sports. But it's the fact that once you get into that state ring, like when we were in Kerrville, every time you heard Smithson Valley, it got like a chill, like the Grim Reaper was in there. You knew that program had success in some type of sport to deserve that type of reputation. I mean, there's a lot of people in here that think Lake Travis like that, and it boils over. Lake Travis is very good at a lot of sports, but you hear that, and you know that that's an upper echelon program because you've got the aura of being one of the top flights in the state. And so I think Vista Ridge is definitely one of those in girls basketball.
Yeah. And well,
what are we going to talk about the rest of this podcast?
I think there's some other spring sports coming up. So,
well, you know what? Why don't we take a little break? Chris is actually going to play the guitar for us. He's not. He didn't bring you a guitar. I can
belt out a tune a cappella if you guys want me to. Or...
God, that'd be so awesome. Let's venture into some other sports here. First of all, let's talk about some recent news. We talked a little bit about last week. There's been some changes here. Round Rock has a new athletic director that started this week in Dwayne Weirich. And now that means Pflugerville's athletic job has officially been posted. Mm-hmm. And so, Sean, tell us about your venturing, because it seems like that there's a it seems like you've found some news here.
Yeah, and hopefully by the time this goes up, we'll actually know who the official, which opening is officially at which school, because the job opening didn't say which school. But in addition to obviously the big one where Leander's football coach and athletic coordinator jobs open, and that job actually they plan to move in really fast. They plan to start interviewing next week already. But looking today on the LISD site and the employment opportunities, if anyone's interested, you can apply to be the next boys basketball coach at one of five high schools in the district. Not sure which one.
I hope that there's some. I hope that there's some coach out there listening, going, "Is it me? Did I not make the cut?" And you know, like Chris Ross is just sitting there in his chair, like, you know, he's kind of tapping both of his fingers together, and it's like, "Oh, who am I gonna go?" But that's interesting. You know, it's kind of hard. You can't really deny that there's not an opening when the job is posted.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many good boys basketball coaches in your district. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like maybe somebody's going back home. I mean, it seems like those are posh jobs that are opening.
I remember, if I had to guess, and my guess it would be the Vista Ridge job, because I remember hearing a rumor, and once again, rumors are always dangerous things, but I remember hearing a rumor that Pat Brown was considering retiring. So that's, if I had to guess, that's what I would put it down as. That would be the opening that.
And let's stress again, this is just rumors.
It's just a rumor.
Coach Brown there, Mr. Ridge, I think has definitely earned himself another year at Vista Ridge. I mean, he had a pretty good season. So if it is, maybe he wants to retire going out. I mean, not to start any rumors, but anytime there is those athletic coaching changes, athletic coordinator changes, sometimes they're shake up, but I can't imagine Leander's coach leaving. So be interesting. Hopefully, you know, it's just maybe someone's retiring and that's the extent of it. But Chris, if something happened this down at Bastrop, like, you know, like, do they do it? Like, is it like to find a new coach? Is it kind of like Iowa caucus style or like New Hampshire style? They just write little names in there and put it in a box, and whatever they come out with is the coach? Or
I believe that's the way it works down there. There's a lot of parliamentary procedure.
Maybe in Smithville, right?
Yeah.
At least in Smithville.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. If a job was posted like this in Bastrop or Smithville, the whole town would be talking about it by this point. It's a little bit different community down there.
It's how it was in Kerrville when that job opened up. It was the biggest news probably on sports that we'd had since the Johnny Manziel kid was there. I love it when like he's obviously the best player in school history, but the coaches still refer to him as that Smith kid. It's like, yeah, the Smith kid averages like 45 points, coach. Come on, yeah. Let's not beat around the bush. You know what his name is. But
well, where are they for your search? How far along are they in the Pflugerville search?
Well, I mean, as until Monday, I mean, they hadn't even posted the athletic director job up. I think that they were really maybe looking into what the job title would be. I don't know if that's actually happened. That is a good job, but that is not an easy job because unless they've changed it. We're planning to change it. There's no assistant ADs at that job. And that's two 5A schools and one very large 4A school and one athletic director. You know, Round Rock has, for instance, and Round Rock is probably the biggest, without a doubt, the biggest school district in Central Texas with five 5A schools. They have an athletic director and two assistants. Pflugerville is right up there with two 5As and then a 4A, and there's just one guy, and that was Dwayne Weirich. That's a tough job because not only are you with the 16 5A chair, you're also in the 17 4A, and obviously Chris knows that because he covers a lot of those teams also. So that's hard work, and whoever takes that job is going to have their work cut out for them. So I'm interested to see who that is. Rumors are flying around about who it could be. There's any number of internal candidates. I just look at that job and I say, there's a lot of reasons for those internal candidates to take it, but there's a lot of reasons for why, especially some of the top coaches in the Pflugerville ISD, for them just to stay at their positions because their teams are going to be very good next year. For instance, if someone like Nancy Walling, who certainly, if she wanted to, would be a top candidate for that job if she wanted to. But why would she leave? She loves what she's doing. She's going to have a good team next year, even though they're losing seniors, because that's what she does. They have a program that develops talent. Chip Killian, why would he leave Hendrickson? Even it would be for money, because you do get paid more, but I'm pretty sure a guy like Chip Killian wants to coach Samaje Perrine his senior year.
You can't really fault anyone for wanting to coach Samaje Perrine his senior year.
Exactly. I mean, you've got a running back that ran for 2,000 yards last year. You're going to want to be there. I don't see any of the internal candidates, any of the top coaches in Pflugerville really wanting this job. Not that they're not qualified, but because they'd be leaving great jobs, great playoff teams, and it would be interesting. Certainly wouldn't surprise me, and I certainly think that a lot of those top candidates, whether you're talking about Howard McMahon at Connolly, all the way down to Chip Killian or Tara Holloway at Hendrickson, I mean, they're in good situations with their teams. I don't know why they would do it. I envision maybe someone who's been in the district for a while, maybe not a head coach, that could come in there, or frankly someone from the outside, but someone who's maybe left Pflugerville and coming back. But
and of course, though, people do at times leave those jobs. You look at what happened to Leander last year, where Chris Ross was at Cedar Park, obviously a comfortable position, team that went out and won a state title.
I mean, Joe Willis did a great job, and he made a lot of great coaching decisions. But there wasn't anyone in the state of Texas last year that didn't think, regardless of the head coach, that team wasn't going to be one of the state finals.
Exactly.
That team was so talented. You know, that Coach Willis came in there and, you know, he had to have been so happy because he knows he's going to win with those talent. He's just got to steer the ship the right way, and he obviously did.
And that's why I think we talked about this a little bit last. We talked about internal hires and all. That's the same reason why you see things like that, where programs that just kind of have that, they've got the schedule set down, they've got what they're going to do, where they just kind of keep the machine running and then just add at the bottom and just keep promoting people within.
I know, obviously, you know, because let's say you're at one of our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
If Mike Parker decided to leave the paper to join a rock band, like he was going to be Kiss's new bass player. Okay.
Yes.
So he's putting the makeup on and he's leaving. Obviously you're probably crossing your fingers and saying, ooh, let's hope that, Joe Harrington gets the Emmy job or Chris Dukes gets the Emmy job or Habib Kerdy, because then, you know, at least I know that person. You bring in someone from the outside, there's this huge unknown, and you're thinking, oh no, what's going to happen to my role? So I know a lot of people in Pflugerville, because you have a lot of coaches that have been there for a long time, and outside of Connolly, there's not a lot of new turnovers in Hendrickson and in the district. I mean, Hendrickson and Pflugerville have had coaches there for a long time. So it would make people nervous when you got an outside guy. But, you know, then again, sometimes having a fresh pair of eyes can work, and I think that's what happened with Round Rock. They brought a guy that was in the district for a long time. It was like a decade plus in Dwayne Weirich. I think he was there for 12, 13 years at Round Rock ISD. And then he left Round Rock ISD and was in Pflugerville for 10 years, where he was also so it's a fresh eye, but a familiar eye.
It seems to me, actually, where you could get an outside candidate for an athletic director position for a whole district is actually a lot easier than bringing an outside candidate for a coach.
Yeah.
If you bring someone in who's an outsider for an athletic director position job, they're not dealing with strategy directly. They're not dealing with the kids. They're dealing with the kids directly, but they're not dealing with the day-to-day in-game decisions. And it's not going to be a change of, well, oh, are they going to run the same offense? Are the kids going to have to learn something new? I think, obviously, it's a change for the people in the administration, but it's a change that might be even easier to adjust to from an outside in that job.
You don't have to worry if the incumbent defensive coordinator is going to be able to teach the defense that you want to run. I mean, it's an administrative level position. So
at this position, you've got to have a guy like Chris Ross who is egoless. Because if you bring in a coach who, you know, maybe he's just looking to retire and he's been a head coach, a successful head coach for a long time, but he's got a bravado and an ego about him, and you put him in this situation where he's the head of the athletic department and he wants to be the guy, then you're going to have problems with head coaches. So you got to have an egoless person take over this job. That's why Dwayne Weirich worked so well in Pflugerville. If you ever met the guy, he's one of the nicest guys you'll meet. And he's a guy that just clearly just cares about the kids and cares about the coaches and wants every team to do well and could care less if people notice his work. I mean, he wants to be behind the scenes, and I think that's good. And that's the type of person that's going to be really successful. I think Chris Ross at Leander is that, because he understands. He's going to let his coaches be themselves.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that someone who's going to go, if someone's going from the coaching to the administrative role, they have to look at, obviously you're still rooting for teams to win, but winning also takes on a new sense of the word. It takes on, you have to win in the business aspect. You have to win in the administration aspect, where now Texas high school football, obviously big business for the district.
And another thing we're completely glossing over is the AD does curriculum. You know, the PE and health classes, that falls under AD. It falls under, for Round Rock ISD it did, Pflugerville ISD it did. So not only is the Pflugerville athletic director going to be in charge of, you know, Connolly softball, he's also going to be in charge of Hendrickson health classes.
And
so that's a tough job.
And he'll have an impact not on just the 60% of kids who are athletes, but every single kid who takes a health or a PE class.
That's why I think for a lot of people, when they look at this job, they'll say, oh, is so-and-so head coach going to be it? Is going to be athletic director? Well, maybe that head coach, maybe because they're successful on the football field or basketball court or whatever, maybe that's not exactly the best job for them, and maybe they don't want it. Even though it's high and paid, they don't want to deal with putting together a curriculum. So, curriculum. That's one of those funny words. Curriculum. I think that opens the door for academic type hire. And I don't know if that'll happen. I think you obviously want someone that knows who a good coach is, and that's something that Dwayne Roderick was really good at. He has a lot of great coaches at Pflugerville. So you have to have that eye. But I would not be surprised if they hired someone who's like was an assistant for some Pflugerville team for 15 years and has been in the district and knows the coaches. And maybe he's not a head coach, and he takes over. And again, there's no names to that either. I'm not trying to insinuate anyone. I'm just trying to give you an example. I have no idea who's going to take this job. I've talked to coaches. They've given some rumors, as they will. I mean, they've said they've tossed names out there, and I'm telling you. I mean, I can give a 4. For any of the head coaches, I can say, well, yeah, that's a good quality. He's been there forever. He knows the district. But I can also say, does he want the job? He doesn't seem like someone that wants this job. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be interesting. I think it'll probably be a pretty high paying position in the school district. I imagine as it probably was when Dwayne was there. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I imagine it's going to pay fairly well. So they're going to get a lot of good candidates. And again, it could be anyone. I can see anyone going there. It's not like Leander, where the job was open, and I think everybody was kind of caught off guard there when you heard Chris Ross's name.
Yeah,
and I remember interviewing. Some of the coaches there, and it's like they kind of had to twist Chris Ross's like arm to do it because everybody wanted the guy to do it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And everybody knew he'd get it if he just got the interview. So it's going to be a little different. Be interesting to see.
I wouldn't have ever imagined Chris Ross trading in a whistle for a desk in my entire life. Watching him on the sideline and seeing how much he loved coaching,
it was very weird. And I never covered him during the season. And I think probably the first conversation I had with him was maybe a quick phone call when I first came to Cedar Park. But it was kind of weird seeing him with a Vista Ridge hat on the first time.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've talked about that,
yeah.
And yes, I am aware that Nancy Walling is coaching the state championship, and she could win her first state championship and walk away and be the AD. But I don't know if that's gonna happen. I don't know if she wants that to happen. She wants the state champion, but I don't know if she wants the AD job. But I think that's definitely in the back of any flag reader has got to be saying, well, she's accomplished everything now. I mean, why not be the AD? And I don't know. It's the same way you look at her, the same way you look at Chris Ross. I mean. She'd be terrific as the AD at Pflugerville, but does she really want to give up the program that she obviously loves more? I mean, I talked to her the other day about what it would mean for them to bring in the first state banner, and she was tearing up. I mean, she loves this program more than anything, so I think it'd be very tough for her to walk away, but she's definitely very qualified. But is she more qualified than someone like... I don't know, George Herman, who's also been at Pflugerville High School for a long time and been the head football coach? Is she more qualified than Coach Sesson, the longtime Pflugerville softball coach? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much longevity and winning success will really play a part in this.
And it's really the one thing that really flies under the radar, I think, and I just noticed this from something that really brought to my attention when I actually spoke to Chris Ross 2 weeks ago. I spoke 2 weeks ago about the Leander job, but while him and I are sitting there talking, he's fielding calls from schools, from 3A and 2A schools about hosting playoff games and renting out the facilities. I think that's something that kind of flies under the radar with these jobs, where you're obviously caring about all the Pflugerville teams, all the Hendrickson, Connolly, and Pflugerville kids, but you also have these facilities, too, where you're the one managing these facilities where, okay, are we going to be the host site for an area around boys basketball game? Are we going to have a bi-district baseball game here between two?
How's this for a first day? This brings up a great point. Very first day, Dwayne Weirich is on the job at Round Rock ISD. Pflugerville High School plays Anderson High School at McNeil's Gym. Standing room only. It's the largest crowd I've seen at a high at an actual high school gym. I mean, you take away the big stadiums that they play in the playoffs. There, you couldn't move in that gym, and that was his first day to deal with that as the AD. So yeah, that is a huge thing about it. But again, a lot of capable people in Pflugerville that can take that job, and a lot of names are going to be flying around. And I could imagine that anyone from internally could get it. Anyone from the outside could get it. It's really open. And, you know, bottom line is this isn't a head football coach. So you're just looking for someone that can come in and steer the ship, because the district's in great position, because they didn't get rid of the last guy because he was awful. The last guy left because he did such a great job. Okay. Now that we've talked about that, and we can move on.
Yes, we can move on.
We can move on. This is going to be a long podcast. I can already tell, because I think at this point we've probably already gone an hour.
Yeah.
I imagine we've had. I mean, it seems like forever since Joseph Dean was in here. It seems like forever since we opened the show with Smithville basketball, the Tigers. I still can't believe they made it. That's great.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys' comments on that. I mean, it was wonderful. Like, all the back and forth dialogue, just great.
Absolutely tremendous. Well, let's talk. We can talk about some boys basketball, but Pflugerville boys, they lost in the regional quarterfinals. RCA boys lost in the regional finals. That's the private school I cover for the Flag fans that maybe don't know that.
They are a TAPS private school, I'm guessing, or
yeah, TAPS. Okay. They're in TAPS. The girls are back in the state tournament again. Sure. So
are those most of the same girls that were on the volleyball team?
No, actually not. I mean Mallory Blauser. I mean, you take Blauser away, I don't know where that team is. I don't think they're in the state if you didn't have Mallory Blauser. She scored 38 in the regional final. She's great. I mean, she's a post who shoots threes. And it'd be interesting to see if she was in the UIL, but that's an unfair comparison.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some soccer, though, because we have been totally just denying soccer in this podcast.
And that's unintentional, too.
It's unintentional, but, you know, it did take us, over an hour to get to it today in the podcast. But, anywho, I would say that for soccer, it's for me, it wasn't a sport that I played. So, you know, every time I cover soccer, and this has been the past 4 years, it's always feel like I'm just learning something new. A lot of great soccer in Round Rock, a lot of great soccer in Leander. I would say out of all of our teams, Sean, you probably have one of the better ones out in Cedar Park, right?
Yeah, both boys and girls, I'd say. They're both Cedar Park girls, went to the state tournament last year. The boys, both teams are leading their district right now. It's as expected that district is going to go through to the four, Cedar Park, Vandegrift, Vista Ridge, Rouse. Those are the four, going to be the four playoff teams out of that district. I mean, not locked in for Rouse, but more or less, those three schools are kind of powers, local soccer powers between Vandegrift, Vista Ridge, and Cedar Park. And it's, I think last night I saw the Cedar Park girls. They beat Rouse 2-0 in a game where it was 2-0, but I don't think Rouse crossed midfield more than three times.
I've always found this in soccer, and it looks bigger in basketball. The haves and the have-nots in soccer, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, in basketball, you can have a team beat a team by 60 points, and it looks like there's this huge gap between it. But if you think that one soccer goal is probably worth, 30 points in basketball, you get a team that beats other teams by 8-0, which happens.
Yeah. I
mean, the have, when you're a have in soccer, you're like 5 goals better than the have-nots.
Yeah.
And you see that quite often.
The weird thing with soccer scores sometimes you'll see is a team will win 2-0, but that game might as well have been 6-0. The team that lost had no chance whatsoever. They never got any shots. Really, the team that won 2-0, it's just their offense didn't show up. It's not like basketball where you dominate the whole game, the point total is going to reflect it. Soccer is one of those sports where the score you're going to have, you can dominate the whole game and win 1-0.
Or lose 1-0.
Or if you don't have the win or the win. I mean, I get the win thing. I can see it. It's just, I think that sometimes whether it was blowing 15 miles per hour or 1 mile per hour, you can tell when a team is just going to beat you. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes when you don't know a ton about soccer, and I'll be the first one to freely admit that. I tell all my coaches, I was like, you know, I'm just learning the sport, really. And I enjoy a good soccer game. Like last year when Cedar Park Girls were making that run, that was, you could tell, that was the first time you could watch a game and be like, that team is very physical. I mean, that team is very well coached. Coach Womack does a great job with it.
The problem with particularly girls soccer, watching a good team play a bad team is not very fun. I mean, it's not like basketball where you watch Pflugerville Girls beat a team by 60. They're still going to entertain you.
You're going to see great layups.
Yeah, you're going to see great passing.
Blocks.
Where for us in soccer, one team beating up on another team, it's not really that entertaining.
Yeah.
In soccer, if you have two, you watch a really good soccer game, it's actually pretty entertaining to watch. Two teams that are evenly matched, and actually there is back and forth, as opposed to where it's not craning your neck to look at one side of the field the whole game.
Yeah. Chris, talk about some of your soccer teams down there.
I've actually got two district leaders in soccer right now. The Bastrop Girls, after the first round of district play, I think they are 6-0-1. They are something 0-1 for sure. It's either 5-0-1 or 6-0-1 at this point. The only tie was a game against I think it was Giddings. They had a weather delay at the end of the first half, and Mother Nature caused a tie. They're still not happy about it down in Bastrop, but a really good soccer team down there. They got a couple of girls that are going to go play college soccer, and Haley Mandel and Kendall Ayers, who was also a kicker on the football team. Really solid, good team, and a pretty good district. I mean, Hayes, Lehman, I mean, there's some pretty good soccer down
there. Is Tybee in that district?
No, Tybee is not in that district. It's just north of, between San Marcos and Austin.
Soccer districts are always amazingly confusing, because you could have a district like my district, where it's 16-5A, and they call themselves 16-5A, but then you have Georgetown, that's in District 54A.
Like my teams, it's District 25-4A minus Dripping Springs, but it's 51-4A.
And I think our teams will play in like this, either the, I think the second round of the playoffs.
That sounds right, I think.
Because I think we are 49-4A.
I got to point out how just awesome it is that Chris can be really proud that he's, I got two district leaders.
Well, you don't understand. It's just different. It's been a rough year in Bastrop County.
Well, no. I think it's funny because, like, you know, I'm looking over here, and it'd be nice if I covered a team that it'd be nice if there was a team in my district that I didn't cover. That I guess there are, because Connolly soccer there. But for the leader, it's like, well, I always have district leaders. Yeah. Don't I? Yeah. It's like, no matter what, I'm
Chris is
cover.
Chris is excited about the district leaders, where I just rattle off, well, I've got four teams that have clinched playoff spots.
It makes it more, this is not making fun. This is makes it more exciting for Chris, because like, all I look at it is saying, well, I'm going to have four teams in the playoffs that I know I can start scheduling playoff coverage. Where Chris can actually get excited, like, yes, my team is going to make the playoffs. It's going to be a big deal that we're making the playoffs. Where from
I'm
going to
make seven stories out of this.
Exactly.
You don't understand.
My readers are like, you know, for my readers, you always have a negative aspect, as in, oh, God, if McNeil Soccer doesn't make the playoffs, what's wrong? And you know, it's just different.
But, yeah, I'm in the position where, for soccer, especially, the only school not in Leander School District in this district is Marble Falls, where I just look at, oh God! What if sometime loses to Marble Falls somehow?
And you always gotta watch out, because your regional is gonna be, I think, in Corpus. I think that's where it is.
Yeah. So,
I mean, at least in my district, I imagine that I know the first round will be against Austin teams, and then College Station, Brenham, one of those towns. I've made. Three trips to College Station in the past 3 weeks. I don't like that drive.
Yeah, it's a horrible drive. It really is.
You drive through beautiful towns like Thrall, Rockdale, Hearn, not Herney.
Have you at least found like a good local radio station that you know can pick up going?
No, but I will confess that I have an iPhone, but I just use it as an iPod, and I've loaded up the podcast, And dead serious, because I've also made three trips to Houston. Three trips to Houston this past month. Audiobooks.
Yeah.
I have become an old man now.
Yeah.
I've officially become my father's son.
I got through two whole audiobooks on my trip to Corpus Christi and back, so don't...
You know, I have a Bluetooth, and it goes off, and of course when it rings, it interrupts the book, and I get so mad. I was like, oh, where was I?
The worst with the Bluetooth is when you're listening to something, and then it rings like out of nowhere and kind of like surprises you.
Yes. I hate it when you're actually listening to something on the radio that you're really into, and then it rings. And it's always someone that you...
don't really want to talk to.
You don't want to talk to, or it's like a random phone call, or it's your brother asking you if you want to go get barbecue, and you're like, no, man, I'm in Houston. But soccer.
getting back to the boys side of it, the Cedar Creek boys are also they're tied on top of their district right now. It looks like they're going to get into the playoffs. Bastrop boys are right on the playoff bubble, so it looks like we'll probably have three playoff teams down in Bastrop.
And see the Cedar Creek boys, if I remember correctly, they're the team that kind of had the advantage where they've got everyone back.
Everyone's back this year, minus their all-state goalie who is not playing for reasons that won't be talked about on a podcast. But yeah, pretty much everybody else is back on the team this year, and it's been a fun year to cover soccer, especially because some of the other sports have unfortunately had a rough year in Bastrop County.
Well, for me, I mean, it's a total cluster of teams that can make it out of the boys. McNeil is 5-1-1, so they've kind of risen it. But before that, Round Rock was in the lead. They were 4-0-2, but they lost last night to Westwood, which is now 1-3-2, I believe. I'm doing this off of memory. And then you've got Pflugerville that's right behind them. Cedar Ridge is in the playoff hunt. Cedar Ridge, I think, has 4 wins. I mean, you got a team like Hendrickson that hasn't won a game until they beat Cedar Ridge last night, and Cedar Ridge was one of the district leaders going into the night. So, really, I mean, there's a lot of parity out there. And I was talking to Bill Anderson of Hendrickson last week, and he was saying, we're like 0-3. I think they were 0-5 at the time, and he's just like, we very, very easily could get back into this playoff hunt for how it is. And Stony Point Soccer has got some pretty good players. I mean, they got Malik Morgan, who's going to the University of Cincinnati, UC, and my hometown. And yet, you know, they're stuck more at the bottom, but they could easily get back in there. It's gonna be crazy. McNeil, if the season ended right now, I believe it would be McNeil, Cedar Ridge, Round Rock, and Westwood and Pflugerville would be right there. I gotta check it. I gotta go through the Rolodex here. Girls side, Cedar Ridge girls. They're one of the best teams in Central Texas. They're getting up there. They're ranked. My trusty soccer guru, I'll just call him my guru, Butch Hart. shout out to old Butch because he's amazing. He's seen them play quite a bit. I honestly haven't seen much of them this season, but he says Cedar Ridge girls are really, really good. They're right there with Hendrickson girls who Cedar Ridge beat last night, which would be Tuesday. And then McNeil girls are in the hunt. Westwood girls are in the hunt. There's not a lot of teams out there that can't make the playoffs on the girls' side.
Yeah, for 20.
And of course, my Connolly teams both look like they're going to make the playoffs because they're just killing Maynard and Cameron Yeo and all those.
Well, they get the they're in that one of those districts where they've got like 3A schools who have to play 4A because there's no 3A for soccer.
Which all changes next year. They just passed. I think that was in the rules change.
Is that next year or the next realignment?
The next realignment. Yes.
We'll go over the rule change.
They're going to have 3A soccer districts, and I think it's 2014.
Yeah, I know that's something that was big for. I don't cover them, but during the Georgetown tournament over a month ago, I was just ended up talking to the Dripping Springs coach and was talking with him about it. I said, well, how come you guys aren't in this district? You guys are with the LISD schools and Marble Falls and everything else. And he was saying, well, really sucks for us. We're stuck with all the 3A schools, and yes, we win the district, and we blow everyone out.
Well, wait a second, though. Do you really think that that's going to hurt, really hurt the 3A schools? Because think about it. If you're a 3A school playing soccer, that means you must have some pretty talented soccer kids to warrant a program. Like Fredericksburg was the example that we always had when I was in Kerrville. They were a 3A school, but they played 4A soccer, and they won the district almost every other year. So wouldn't you say in some of those districts, you've got really good 3A teams now?
You do, but just talking, as I said, talking to the Whitman Springs coach, it's not the case for the district they're in. They're the only 4A team that's actually, full-time 4A team that's actually in that district. There are a bunch of other 3A teams. They win that district every year, or they're... And then they go into the playoffs and they get bounced the first round because they play a team that's played 4A competition all year. So I think it's a good thing that it's being split. I don't know what the numbers are going to be.
Yeah, the only issue I would see, soccer programs usually work on a smaller budget, obviously, than a lot of the other sports. And, the travel is going to be bad for some of those 3A teams. You're looking at Cameron Yeo. They're a 2A school. They're playing in a 4A district this year. Just scraping together a 3A districts in soccer is going to be interesting. The geography is going to be really interesting.
Guys, you know what we're in for? I can tell you this right now as sports editors. It'll be a lot of miles.
Yeah.
Those districts are going to be spread out.
You and I always have the nice, more for Chris.
Yeah, Chris is in trouble.
If Chris is in trouble.
Chris, you better get that new car, you better get the warranty, satellite radio, lock it down for soccer season because daddy's driving.
Because we still have, we're always going to look at it. As long as the LISD schools stay all the same classification, and hell, even I'll trade a LISD school for a Round Rock school if one goes up there to 5A. They'll always have that nice little locale for most of the district.
You guys have a nice whenever Marble Falls is considered the far game away. I've made trips
to Quero. The 15-mile trek to Hendrickson? That's rough.
I made trips to Quero and Yoakum.
I make a 16-mile trip to Vandegrift, and I complain about that.
I think my longest trip, my longest trip is actually from my office is to Westwood High School. Because where my office is located in Central Round Rock, Westwood's in West Round Rock, practically Cedar Park,
Austin.
And North Austin. Dude, they're in Round Rock, okay? Max Prep tells me they're in Round Rock. I hate that. I type in Westwood really quickly, and it never comes up. I always get these Westwoods from other towns. So I was like, oh, yeah, it's listed in Round Rock, Westwood. But no, it's in West Round Rock, all right? Get it right.
Well, we all know we have to take Max Prep's 100% accurate.
Yes,
just like it's Leander Vandergrift.
Dude, I am not afraid to say that when you need a roster at the beginning of the season and you quickly type in your name up there at Max Prep and you go to the team and the roster is not there, I'm not gonna lie, a little piece of my soul kind of leaves. Because I know it's
a whole season of not getting it.
Well, I know that it's just gonna be like a phone call and email to the coach, and the coach may not email you back with a roster, and then the rest of the season you have to do like handwritten rosters there, and of course you always lose that note.
The worst I hate right now is the baseball teams in District 25-4 are fantastic. They all put their scores up, they all put their stats up. But the softball team's not a single one has a roster on MaxPress. The baseball team is fantastic. I could not go to a single baseball game and I could tell you every single kid's stats. I could tell you what inning each run was scored. That's fantastic. But then I go to softball and there's not a single roster. And a team will be listed at 1-3 after 16 games.
For covering softball, I've been springing for the $8 a month for Game Changer, which apparently all the softball coaches have switched to because.
Yeah, I got a lot of teams in my district that are doing that.
Yeah, which this is riveting stuff for the podcast. I know.
Well, you know what? Argo won the Oscar for opening the door in the Hollywood scene. We're just opening the door to our readers in our scene. Of course, our scene involves a lot more Chex Mix on the road, gas, and audiobooks.
Audiobooks.
Really, the sports writer's job is not as entertaining as you think it is. So awesome.
Okay. And I don't know if there's a segue out of this.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you brought it up. You mentioned softball and baseball. Yeah. I have. I'm not gonna lie. We've got some teams on the diamond that can play at Round Rock High School. I mean, and
they play around. They play baseball in Round Rock. Huh? Oh. I didn't had no idea.
It's kind of what we're known for. I mean, I've always felt like I've always. You always know what your town is sports going to be in Texas when you have the water tank up there. And in Texas, mostly it's football, just mm-hmm. because people are lazy and they just want to put, you know, whatever football title that they had, even if it's been since like 1954 or something like that, they'll put it up there. But for Round Rock, it's baseball.
Yeah.
And we've got the Dell Diamond and, you know, the Round Rock Express, very proudly Round Rock. Mm-hmm. But, it's not just the baseball team there. The softball team's really good, and it's not really just Round Rock High School. I mean, Stony Point softball is money, and Cedar Ridge softball is going to be good. Westwood softball is going to be good. Westwood actually stole a player. Well, I shouldn't say steal, but a former Rouse player is mm-hmm. now at Westwood. Morgan Garrett, she's really good, and Westwood's off to a good start. Round Rock's off to a good start. McNeil's off to a phenomenal start. They're 10-2, and that's a team entering the season that you kind of looked like, you know, wouldn't finish at the top. They're looking like world beaters now. So, baseball side, I mean, that district's always going to be good. I mean, you had two teams in the regional quarters mm-hmm. last year in Round Rock and McNeil. I will say this. Spring is going to be fun this year because there are so many good teams. I mean, when you've got a program like Stony Point Baseball, which you know is going to be good, and they start out kind of slow, if Stony Point is going to be the team that is disappointing, it's going to be a great year because Stony Point Baseball is going to be good. You know they're going to be good. Tom Collins is a heck of a coach. You know he's going to produce a good team. So it's going to be really, really fun to see that formulated. I'm excited for baseball and softball.
Yeah, baseball, actually, Chris and I were kind of talking about it before we walked in. It's interesting to see how baseball is scheduled now with the along the lines of how district play is set up. I know District 25 4A is moving to a series format this year, and which they'll play 18 district games, which is a ton of district mm-hmm. games, and I think that's what the setup for your district, for the 5A district, is too.
That's what they did last year. Leander has a huge advantage
because they
played in it.
They did that last year.
Yeah, it was interesting because Chris and I were talking earlier today, and I was said, well, how does that affect how many games they can play? So I went and I looked it up. Basically, the 25 4A teams, if you play, you can play 20 UIO rules. I think you can play 20 games. Plus two tournaments, mm-hmm. or you can play 17 games plus three tournaments. It doesn't matter how many games in those tournaments.
Here's why I think every district in the next 5 years, every district will be doing the series format. Because mm-hmm. you think about the teams that just do Tuesday,
Friday.
Think about what is their biggest weakness when they get to the playoffs.
Third pitcher.
In all these districts, you have to have a third pitcher. Even if that guy is throwing junk on the third day, at least he's got innings in there. Mm-hmm. And you've also built up a bullpen. Because if you just do two pitchers twice a week, I mean, you don't really need – you should have one, but you don't need a great bullpen to go far.
Like, you look at one of the best teams that came coming into the year, everyone thought was going to be the best teams in the area for me in the Leander School District, Cedar Park. You've got a D1 pitcher. Your first two starters are both going to go play D1 baseball.
And if they can just get somebody out there on the third day.
Yeah. I mean, with the series concept, you go out and win two out of three in the series, and you get the third guy to take a game every once in a while, you're going to go pretty far.
I mean, you look at a team like if they were in the Tuesday-Friday format, well, then you're looking in my district. Well, how boring would that be? Because you've got such great frontline pitchers. You'd have a marquee matchup, but, I mean, there wouldn't be any parity. The team with the best pitcher would probably have the best chance at winning the district. Westwood has one of the best pitchers in the district. You could make a solid case that J.R. Holloway, that is the pitcher, is the best. I mean, he's up there. He's going to Duke. He's a D1 pitcher. He throws heat. Throws in the 90s, I think. I'm pretty sure low 90s for him. It could be higher. JR is a big fan of the podcast, I think. So, you know. but anywho, you got him. I mean, if it was just a Tuesday, Friday, I mean, you throw him once a week, you have probably a pretty good chance at winning every single week. Now Westwood has to find some depth behind him. Mm-hmm. Makes it more challenging for them. Yeah. Makes it more challenging for all the teams.
I think it'll be interesting for us. I think it's something where, talking about it now, it'd be kind of interesting for us to bring it back up once we get close to the playoffs, because those 17-4A teams, I think you, Chris was saying, they're just playing Tuesday, Friday. They're not playing the series format. So it'll be interesting to see how, obviously they don't match up directly, but just to take a look at those teams that went from, okay, we went from playing Tuesday, Friday, having one kid throw six innings, have a reliever throw one, have another kid throw five, another kid throw two, where we only need three kids to pitch in a week, to now where if we get to that third game, are we going to even have anyone who knows how to throw the ball more than four
innings? That third game is always like, well, we didn't. You always knew the team was in trouble if they did the Tuesday to Friday, if they had to use a relief pitcher in one of the first two games in that series. You always knew they were in trouble, because who are they going to pitch in the third game? Mm-hmm. And then that means you got like a first baseman that maybe has pitched
twice in a tournament.
Yeah, you know? 2 months earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, has to go out there and win a playoff game, or you just cough up the first game or the second game because you save your ace for the third game and just concede it. Mm-hmm. It makes it very tough for a coach for that second game. I mean, what am I going to do? Do I want to use my second pitcher now and try to sweep, mm-hmm. or do I want to chance it with a reliever and save it for a possible third game? I mean, for me, it's pretty easy. I think most coaches would just throw your two best guys out there. Yeah.
But leave anything definitely, a chance if you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely. I always like it when your best number two pitcher, or your best pitcher in general, is also your best catcher.
Yes.
Because then every time he's pitching, he's getting really mad at the backup catcher.
Yeah.
Because he's not doing it right. You're not giving me the singles. Yeah. And then the pitcher just gets frustrated on the mound, and then he gives up runs, and just like, man, if they just had one good catcher, which in high school baseball, for me, the most
That's
important
huge.
Position is catcher.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Without a doubt. Because if you have a catcher that can at least be like 10% good on throwing runners out at second base, maybe the coach isn't going to run. If not, you're going to get all these guys trying to steal bases on him because you know the catcher is just not going to get the ball there.
And it's the same thing with softball, too.
Oh.
Softball, I think, even more with the pass balls. Where you're
at the bar.
How many runs are unearned in softball? Yeah. Scored.
I talked to a lot of coaches in my district about this. In softball, you either have one person who, or one team that just lives by the long ball, is going to jack it out of the park every day, every time. And you've got the other team that is just going to slap
bunting.
The ball, drag bunt the whole way. If they get the ball in the outfield, it's amazing. Like the outfielders ought to just bring like a fold-up chair because it doesn't matter. You're not going to get one. And that's why a catcher is so important in there. And that's why you always see like your best – like this happened a lot in Kerrville. And, you know, you'd have a catcher who was like a really good infielder at third base. Well, the next year – they have somebody else that can play third base because she immediately moves to catcher because they need a comparable fielder there. It feels like forever since Joseph Dean was here.
I was talking to Sean about the 17-4A baseball schedule, which I think is interesting. Everybody's playing each other twice in the same week. So I've never seen that personally. And I mean, I've never seen a district scheduled that way, and I was talking to the Bastrop head coach about it, and he said that Georgetown apparently stomped their feet until they got this schedule because they didn't want to see everybody's first. They didn't want to see everybody's number one pitcher the whole season. So I think it changes the matchups a little bit. I mean, everybody's going to have to. They're going to see both pitchers. Every team is going to see each other's.
It's definitely not consistent in my district. I mean, you got some are starting on Tuesday, three-game series. Some are starting on Thursday. So it's.
I have a lot of the Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. That's the norm. There's a lot of it. But I also have a couple of the. There is a couple Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and there's also one. There's one week where every team plays a doubleheader on Thursday. and then plays on Friday.
It's doubleheader days. Yeah. Was that? I bet the doubleheaders could be spring break.
No, the spring break they actually play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, nice. You always knew it was spring break because you can always tell when it's spring break in the baseball softball schedule because it goes 7 o'clock start, 7 o'clock start, 7 o'clock start, 1 o'clock start.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess we wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Again, I want to thank I want to thank Mr. Dean. Tremendous guest. I want to thank Chris. Thanks for making the drive up here again. It's always fun to have you up here.
I enjoy coming. I really do. I mean, as you know, I'm sure you guys have Wednesdays the same way I do, where it's kind of the light day, so 90% of the time.
We hit about noon in my office, and
everyone leaves.
You know what, to be honest, everybody's about 24 pages lighter. Until Thursday, when we get 10 pages heavier.
I honestly take my laptop home on Tuesday night and don't go into the office on Wednesdays just because... The drive to Bastrop, as we mentioned earlier, is not a fun one to make every day.
So. There's a Buc-ee's.
There is a Buc-ee's.
I stopped at it.
Yeah, it's very unhealthy because it is less than a mile from my office, so.
Buc-ee's, I'll tell you this. You always go in there and you say, I'm not going to get the sausage on stick. I'm not going to get it.
Or you say you're not going to get the vacuum-packed
sausage.
Yeah.
You always get it, and then you eat it.
$34 later, you leave Buc-ee's and...
Well, then about 20 minutes later...
You regret it.
You say, I should not have had that sausage on a stick.
And you're 20 miles away from the very nice facilities that Buc-ee's offers. And...
Yes. We're not supporting any businesses here, so we'll just say the large station.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The North yes. ACN Sports Report does not favor any...
Does not favor any particular... yes, we don't... We don't particularly like any one company that could possibly sue us for infringement. For their sausages are delicious. They sometimes are just not good to eat later. Did I say that right? I don't know.
Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in. Hey, if you're Pflugerville fans, going out there, good luck. And hey. Smithville!
Yeah.
Smithville Tigers! Bring home a champion down there.
It would be the first one in school history. So it last year, they had a golfer win the state championship, but they haven't had a team win a state championship since the 1940s, I believe. So it's been a while in Smithville.
You know what, Sean? You can just sit this one out, okay? Sit the state tournament out, all right? You were there for football, you were there for volleyball, you were there for soccer. Just sit this one out, okay?
Cross country.
Just keep bragging about it. Stay track me. Keep bragging about it, Sean. We'll get to volleyball, softball, and track next week.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.